May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Looking at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. And this will probably be our last installment. So let me read it again. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We've looked at pretty much all of this last week, or a lot of it anyway, but this last little installment, I wanted to just focus on something that I actually gave a word to somebody last week concerning this, but I think it's an important part of the scripture, though it's not the main emphasis, it's there. And that is that he refers to the throne as the throne of grace. Again, in Psalms, it talks about twice, two different places, that the foundation of his throne is justice and righteousness. And most Christians, when they talk about the throne of God, and they were described the throne of God, theologically, they would describe it as a throne of righteousness and justice. But that's not what it says. It says that's the foundation that the throne sits on. But the throne is a throne of grace. And even though the context here is about the fact that God passed through in the person of Jesus through the heavens to earth, not the other way, he did that, of course, so that he could be tempted in every way likened to us, so that we would know he could sympathize with our weaknesses, the co-suffering is the word sympathize, so that we would be confident to live a life of continually drawing near to experience mercy when we fail, and to claim, find grace in all those moments of need throughout the day. But where this verse first hit me again recently, I think I said this last week, when we were at the House of Bishops in Orlando, I was actually exercising. In the midst of exercising, the Holy Spirit just spoke this scripture to me and emphasized this whole throne of grace. And I must have been pondering some situation or some circumstance, and all of us live our lives with situations and circumstances that we wouldn't choose for ourselves. The timing of it, the way people are behaving in it, the situation itself. There are a lot of things that come that are surprises that we weren't expecting. Just those things that are uncomfortable, that don't seem good, that we wish weren't happening. We have to remember that this says about us that God orders our steps. And something I can't explain in light of man's free will is how God is sovereign. And that we can trust his leadership. Again, that scripture that's meant so much to me, and it's Isaiah 9, that says, the government rests on his shoulders. And where most of us, at least part of the reason, half of the reason we lose our peace in the Lord, is because we want the government to rest on our shoulders. We want to be in control. And we find ourselves fearful, anxious, angry, and frustrated when we can't control things or control people. I grew up with an alcoholic father. And when you live in a home of an alcoholic or in any kind of addiction, what happens to most children who grew up that way is they grow up wanting to control everything, because they grew up with everything around them being so uncontrollable and so unpredictable. And so you want to control everything because you want to have peace, because you grew up in fear and anxiety. And so if you can just control everything and control everybody, everything will be good. You'll be at peace. But that's not how you find peace at all. The government of our lives rests on his shoulders, not just the government of the world, but the government of your world, the government of your life. And then two verses later in Isaiah 9, it says, and where there is an increase of his government, leadership, there's an increase of peace. And the more you and I come to a place where we yield to and trust in his leadership, without having to understand why things are happening the way they're happening. The more we trust in his leadership, the more we're going to walk in peace, because we're not living our lives emotionally resisting and complaining and being anxious about what's going on around us. I've used this example before. It's not that you become passive. If I'm going to a meeting, I'm supposed to be there at 7. It looks like I'm going to be there 15 minutes early, and I get caught in traffic, or I have a flat tire. Am I going to be frustrated and anxious that I'm going to get there late and they won't really understand? Or am I going to trust his leadership in my life, that I'm in Christ and he allowed this to happen? Well, does that mean I just sit there in the car and go, well, okay, here I sit with a flat tire? No, I get out and in peace change the tire. You still live your life. You still face your stuff. You still work out your taxes. You still have the conversation. You still discipline the child or have the communication with your husband, wife. But instead of anxiety and fear and anger, you're trusting his leadership, his government in your life. That's what surrender is all about. And therefore, it's important that we understand, well, most of the time, if we were to like just define grace with one word, it would be favor. And that favor takes on lots of different forms. And one of the ways God's favor takes place is in his leadership in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. I don't know if he's your shepherd, but he's my shepherd. Well, he's all of our shepherd, but it's personal. Shepherds lead. They guide. Sheep are to trust them. And the throne from which he governs your life and my life is the throne of grace. That's important for you to understand. So that you can walk in peace. So that you give him permission to do what he wants to do. Because if what happens in my life, no matter what it may look like, is filled with grace, even if it flows from the enemy, even if it flows from somebody's poor behavior, his leadership in my life is still flows from a throne. The throne's all about government, from a throne of grace. That this person who rejected me or maybe was ugly with me, they may be in sin, and that's between them and the Lord. But I'm in Christ, and God's allowed this situation in my life as grace. There's something he wants to do that has great eternal quality through this. I don't have to understand it all yet. All I have to know is that God's leadership in my life flows from a throne of grace. That there's favor here, even if it's painful, even if I don't understand it. You see, it's easy to trust God and to see blessing when it feels like blessing. What's hard to believe is it's blessing when it doesn't look like or feel like or sound like blessing. One of the most important things that one of my great mentors in my life said this, is that blessing is whatever God sends your way. Well, you see, the enemy's not in control of my life. I belong to him. I'm in Christ. And he governs my life from a throne of grace. And it was just one of those reaffirming words. But language is important. It expands things or restricts things. And it was a great expansion in my heart to just simplify again that whatever might be going on is favor. And I can trust him with that. I can trust his leadership. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.